Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News. I am your host, Bravo and Botox, and I have a very special guest this week, and I'm really excited about it. It's Nora from the Reality Is podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm so excited, and thank you for coming on like a little bit last minute, because I just asked you a few days ago.
I think I'm doing at home just watching Bravo and like tweeting about it, so it's fine. It's not like okay, I'm like good. I'm not like Danny Pellegrino that like you need to get in the books, so, like it's just I'm just one of you, we're just online.
One day maybe we'll have people and and you'll have to like book us in advance through our people, but for now that's just the dream.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you on because you have a great podcast where you cover not just Bravo but other shows as well. So can you just tell the listeners a little bit about your show, and just in case they haven't heard it or they're not aware of you, so they can follow you?
Well, my podcast is about the problematic relationship with reality TV. So we all know we're all decent human beings, and we all know that the people that we're watching are not decent human beings. And I think that there is, especially I'd say like 2020 onwards, there has been this sort of like fight within us, this like cognitive dissonance of like, these are trash people, and should I be watching them, and should I be like fueling these monsters? But at the same time, I think so much of reality TV is informative. Like, I actually think of it as like a anthropological experience, because it's like a study in people. Like, I'm almost 40, and I feel like when I'm watching, The Housewives, and I'm learning so much about how to navigate female adult relationships. Like, I think it's really interesting watching Kyle and Dorit, their friendship fall apart for whatever reason it might be, and Kyle now downsizing their relationship essentially to like, we were work friends, is so hurtful. But like, who hasn't been there, right? Where you're like, I thought I was best friends with somebody, but actually I had inflated the relationship, or they had downplayed the relationship. Like, I think that those are really interesting experiences, but I also don't shy away from talking about sort of like the race implications of things, the how these certain dynamics work. Obviously everything that Dorit has done to Garcelle and Crystal, and even honestly how they have treated Crystal in the past. I try to talk about all of those things sort of from the lens of like, this is reality TV, and yes, it is produced and all of that stuff, but there are other implications to why these relationships sort of like get muddy, or how things get tense. And I spend too much time psychoanalyzing them.
You're in the right place.
I watch everything on Bravo except for the Below Decks, because there are too many. And
oh my God, you're me. That's exactly that.
It's too many. It's around the clock Below Deck. If you're going to make any show around the clock, I want it to be Traders. We should have Traders on boats. If they make a Traders sailing yacht, I'll be happy. Like, that's what they need to do. But I talk about that. And then I've also dabbled into like some Netflix shows and HBO shows, just like it's fun. And I talk about politics and all that kind of stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, all that.
Well, that's what's great about it. I think the audience here is the right audience for you, because the audience here is, I started this podcast to do like deep dives, and I very much like to look at it from like a psychological, sociological point of view as well. And I love like what you said about the relationships. Like, that for me is what it's all about. I love that.
Yeah.
It's just you know, people like to chalk it up to like dumb reality TV, but there is so much with the dynamics between the women, the way they handle conflict. And listen, we learn stuff, everyone, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how many people knew all that stuff about esophaguses before this season? Not that many, right?
Yeah, thanks to Sutton, who put it on the end. Did you see on her Instagram stories, she posted a picture of her esophagus?
Shut up. Did she?
Okay.
How did I miss that?
Okay, it looked it looked not safe for work. It looked like a vagina. It looks straight up like hole. Like she was like, here's my hole.
Surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sphincter. Okay. Like we have several in our body. And I think
and so, it's much. Like such an awkward little person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She has like the little boniest, skinniest legs. And then she's just like an awkward human. So I, of course, would expect her esophagus to be awkward too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love what you said about like all the stuff about race and looking at it from that perspective too, because I think, you know, a lot of people like shy away from that because they don't want to, you know, they maybe don't want to offend people, or they don't want to speak out of turn, or they just don't have, you know, the level of nuance and understanding when it comes to that. And yeah. I mean, for me, I know the first part of the Beverly Hills reunion has happened, and I mean, I really enjoyed watching Dorit, you know, kind of get it.
Yeah.
Not, I don't mean that she got the point. I mean that she was just getting it from all angles.
She's never going to get the point.
I don't know if she's capable. No. And I'm not trying to sound like a snob. I just don't. Like, Dorit is like, you know, I didn't understand, you know, the analogy with the horse. Remember that last season?
Yeah, so stupid.
But I did like that, you know, the crystal thing with the child bride. I liked how that kind of reinforced Garcelle's point. And to me, that was sort of a like, I hope that watching it back, she'll have maybe a wake up. What do you think?
I don't think she will.
Okay.
But yeah, one of the things I thought was so funny that she was like, Crystal, I'm so glad you brought this up.
My God, your imitation is really good. I just want to say that.
She's like, Priscilla Presley was a child bride. Okay, but she actually did get married when she was 14.
Well, and she was white. Oh, it's not the same, guys.
It's so bananas. I also think like the parts of it that Dorit is not getting is that like when you say that kind of stuff, you also take away the person who you're talking about, their agency. Like you're implying that Crystal has no agency in her marriage, when actually, if you look at the dynamic between Rob and Crystal, she really gives it to him. Like she's not super like,
no, you know, she's not at all.
You know, and I think like that, again, they've done this thing to Crystal where they expect her to be quiet. And then when she speaks up, they're like, whoa, Crystal, like you never have opinions about anything. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's had very obvious opinions about things that you guys have given her shit for every single season she's been on. And then it's just the fact that like, they consider her condescending, which I think that she might be, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that because I'm a little condescending. And so I feel like, you know, that's what she brings to the show. And it frustrates me that like they keep treating Crystal that way. Like it's always like, oh, yep. Crystal's quiet. She's shy. She's quiet. She has no opinions. And then they're like, whoa, Crystal, you have an opinion about something. It's like, well, which one is it?
Yeah, I can see why she feels that she can't win.
Yeah.
So she might back down more. And I think that's what those women do, though. I'm sorry. Yes. That's what the Fox Force 5, whatever the hell they were called. That's what they do. They whittle down their opponents until they have whoever they're going to gang up on, whichever season, because that's how they play it.
Yeah.
They whittle them down until they have no more spirit left.
Yeah.
And then some of them just leave, you know, like Denise. And like it's just it's really kind of sad to watch, actually, which I think is why it's actually kind of getting better because we have less of them and the gang's getting broken up. Okay, see, but this is what happens when you have two serious Bravo fans on a show. We get sidetracked and we don't talk about the news, okay?
Yeah.
So weekly, I do these news episodes just to like fill everyone in. So I'm going to kind of just go through, you know, the news story, and then we would just love your thoughts, please.
Okay. Before you start, I'm so glad you're doing that because I'm a person who can't keep up with the extracurriculars. Like if it comes up on my feed, I'm like, oh yeah, I heard whatever, but like, I can't get, so I love, tell me the news. I would love to hear it.
I'm like, okay. So I had Kendrick on from Reality and Comics too. And he was like, oh, it's like Bravo CNN. I was like, yes, that is. I love that. So it is kind of like that. So, okay, the first story, Vanderpump Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know the big news from last week about the lawsuit and all that. Now, people have unearthed the clip from Ariana and Sheena's podcast saying that when the cease and desist was sent about Rachel's sex tape, well, I don't know if we want to call it a sex tape, whatever we want to call it, screen recording. Her lawyer offered their phone to be examined with like forensics to prove that she did not share it. And Ariana maintains she didn't share it beyond sending it to herself, I guess, and then to Rachel. However, I was listening to the Bravo docket.
Me too.
Yes. And they said, now I still think that Ariana did not ever intend to like spread it out there. However, they did say that she can still be in hot water because legally, even just sending it to one person or yourself does count, and that the intent doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But then they also said that, you know, it's still going to be like an uphill battle for Rachel to get anything out of this because, you know, if Ariana pushes for like a jury trial or whatever to go all the way, you know, they might get nullified that way. So what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I also listened to the Bravo docket episode and
I didn't listen to the full episode. I listened to them on Watch What Crappens on Monday.
Oh yeah, there's
on the live and they were all talking about it and I was like writing things down. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, so essentially what they said is the law is that just the fact that number one, it was wrong for Tom to record her in the first place. So she's got a case against Tom.
Definitely.
Then it was the fact that Ariana found the recording on Tom's phone, sent it to herself, and then sent it to Rachel. So that in itself is considered a distribution.
Right.
And what they're doing with the case, so I listened to the podcast, and the first, they always break up their cases where you first talk about the laws that are involved, and then they talk about the actual case itself, the filing itself. So the filing itself of Rachel's is really interesting because she talks about Scandoval as a whole, as like the universe of Bravo. They talk about Vanderpump and how the show is salacious and all these things. And I think the narrative that she's essentially building is that Ariana was aware of how this would be treated on the television show. And she says that Ariana knew about the affair as early as the fall of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying that Ariana, allegedly Ariana had scolded Tom because Rachel and Tom were being handsy in public. And she had said something along the lines of save it for the next season. And the way that it's framed or phrased in the lawsuit is almost like, I can't be too sure that Ariana said it, but I think Ariana said it based on the things.
Well,
it's
exactly.
Like bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And then essentially what she's trying to build in this case is that Ariana is in cahoots with Bravo to try to, and like Evolution Media and like also Lisa Vanderpump to, you know, to get the show where it is and get it as much money, and with the intention of using Rachel's downfall and, you know, making her the sacrificial lamb that then puts the show into a better place and then also makes Ariana a bunch of money and makes Bravo a bunch of money. And the way that it's framed, they talk a lot about like other bad behavior that's been done and all these things.
There's mention of James. There's mention of just like all this stuff that isn't really relevant to Tom and Ariana.
It's not. Yep. She even talks about the Sheena stuff and everything. And it's like, again, all those things are things that happen because you chose to do something fucked up. And at the end of the day, people are not reacting to be honest, even if it wasn't a screen recording, even if she had just seen a text exchange between the two of them and figured it out, it would have elicited the same exact response.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that when it comes to the actual revenge porn part of it, I don't know if she has a case for it to be used as explicitly as revenge porn, but I think that she does have a case about the distribution. And I think Ariana might get dinged on that. So maybe she'll settle on it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I could see her like, you know, like the Bravo docket was saying, like, I could see her taking it further to like the jury or whatever. Cause I do think that they would probably like, they would have to consider the larger context.
Yeah.
Then maybe they would kind of take Ariana's side but I don't know. Again, obviously I'm not a legal expert, but one thing about when you were saying just now about like her talking about Rachel talking about the toxic environment and all that, that does make sense, because one thing I was thinking about it, and I said this last week, was you know, the lawsuits against Tom and Ariana, but there's so much mention of the work environment. Mm-hmm. And one weird thing to me is, though, I could say, though, that Ariana and Tom are on the same level as Raquel in that they're employees, right? Yeah. They're talent. So they're also kind of like, quote unquote, victims of the toxic, you know, Bravo Evolution environment. Yeah. Right. So it doesn't really, there's a lot of just contradictory ideas. And then later she says that, you know, Ariana definitely shared the video because she was so shocked by it. But I thought she knew about the affair.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it doesn't make any sense. Also, it's like,
makes sense.
Also, she says like, oh, Ariana knew about it in September and she was fine with it as long as it came out on the show the next season. It's like, but you guys were still filming at that point. So it wouldn't have made sense to bring it up. None of it is.
And it never came out. Totally.
Yeah. Also, I think that the fact that a lot of the case is focusing on the toxic work environment really coincides with the fact that Rachel is using Bethany's lawyer.
Oh, yes, 100%. These all have, like, I can smell the seafood in Bethany's hotel room.
We can all smell the crab boil on the papers of this.
This has got Bethany's little bony hands over it, honestly.
Oh, what a ghoul. I hate her so much.
Oh, I know. She's such a ghoul. And I used to be such a Bethany fan way back in the day.
Me too. Like,
my God, my opinion has never changed so harshly.
Embarrassingly, one of the very first tweets I ever tweeted was,
oh no,
this is so embarrassing. This is like the year was 2008 or something. And I had just started working in the city. And one of my first tweets was, you know, reason number 5,000, whatever, is a possibility. Reason number blah, blah, blah of working in the city is the possibility that you might run into Bethany Franklin. I was like, cool.
Well, speaking of, you know, embarrassing tweets, let's talk about Jax, because we know likes to put out embarrassing tweets, not comparing you to Jax, by the way.
That's okay.
But him and Brittany broke up, and we all know that. So, however, he's like getting interviewed with TMZ, and he's like, we're not breaking up. It's not a divorce, whatever. And then Brittany, on the other hand, is like, we're taking time apart. And, you know, she's like, she's focused on Cruz but she leaves the door like a little open because she's like, well, he needs to make some changes, you know? So sorry, that was a little too Sutton-y.
No, fine. They're all the same.
There's those pictures. I don't know if you saw the pictures of her looking a little rough.
Looking rough.
A little rough. Like how I look when I like go to the grocery store kind of thing. Like she's got like the sweats, the ripped up shirt, and she's moving to a rental. Do you think that this is for the show or do you think that this is real?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think the fact that TMZ is coming in asking them questions and there's cameras following them, like we know, I think we all know at this point, I'm sorry if you didn't and this is about to be news to you, but we all know that you got to call the paparazzi. It's not like, you know, Princess Diana anymore. They are not chasing you around. And especially not when you aren't Jax fucking Taylor.
Exactly.
Brittany from Kentucky.
Okay. I don't even believe they're chasing Kyle Richards.
No. Kyle is calling them, right?
100%.
So it's like, okay, whatever. Jax, I feel like, is like, you got to go follow my wife. I just recently started watching House of Villains because it's now on Peacock.
Okay, I did watch a few episodes, but I didn't get through the whole thing. Just got busy, not because it was.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like I got halfway through and I'd best describe it as like if you took like early, like the Surreal Life from like the early 2000s VH1 era and like added to it Big Brother and like a super duper glossy, low budget, like. And when I say glossy, I mean like shellacked, not like glossy, like glitzy. Traitors. Like it's really good. It's like a really good bad show. But Jax was on it. And
he gets kicked out pretty early, right?
Right away. First banishment. And he even spoiled that for the show, apparently on the red carpet for the show. He was
that's
like,
so Jax.
Yeah, totally. But I would go as far as to say that he was like even tolerable on the show, but he's intolerable to the people that he is around. Like they don't want to be around him because all he does is talks about how much money he makes doing stuff since the reality TV show, right? Like, and so he's obsessed with making money. He's all about the money stuff. And I think like even him going on the show was to try to make money. And now he has the show The Valley and he wants it to go well. And like,
right,
I can totally see him obsessing over it and then being like, TMZ, go follow my wife so I can get more publicity. The other right. thing is like that red carpet or wherever she was where they like interviewed her. She's like,
I think it was like outside of a restaurant or something.
Like, okay. She's going to dinner with her publicist. Like right. the picture of Jax like cozying up with a woman was like
it was their publicist. And they were like, I said, like they were up in Canada. Like I was like, go away now.
But like the only people they can get to like go, be in cahoots with them is their publicist, who is also due to make money off of the stuff that they do. So there's that. But Lala was on Watch What Happens Live yesterday and she said that yes. she's been telling Brittany to leave Jax. But I'm like, yeah, but that's true.
Okay. Well, she also said she wasn't surprised. I actually had that as one of my news items. So thank you. Yeah. And that she wasn't like she knew they had issues. But she was also like, as you said, she's like, I always tell everyone, like, leave the man.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which I thought was funny. But now there's one more little thing to this story. Comedian Tammy Pascatelli. Commented, okay. I don't know. Okay. A comedian. That's all I know.
Okay.
They commented on an Instagram post or a Twitter. I can't remember. I think it was Instagram and said that they heard from someone else basically that Jax told Brittany that he's no longer attracted to her because of her weight gain and that that's part of the reason they've broken up.
Okay. But I feel
again,
like
it's a rumor. I have no facts. I share rumors on here too, though.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's not just
facts. Here's the thing. I mean, are we surprised? Would we ever be surprised that Jax said something like that?
No.
I feel like he probably said that while she was pregnant. I feel like he probably like the day that she gave birth. He probably was like, all right, now time to get on the treadmill. And like, she was like, fuck you, Jax. Like, so, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's not surprising, but I also think that he's probably said that to her thousands of times. I'm not saying it's okay, mm-hmm. but like, I don't think that would be a reason for her to break up with him because I feel like she's been putting up with it. I hope it is. Like, I hope she does break up.
Yeah, same. But she seems to put up with a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's sad. Now, one thing I want to say quickly that we don't have to talk a lot about, but Lala's pregnant. Yay. And I am happy for her. I love that she's doing it on her own. Like,
yeah,
but there has been some people, she has had some like quote unquote backlash of people being like, you're not doing it the natural way. And you should have a father, like just, you know, old school annoying people.
Yeah.
I love that she's like, listen, I've got the money.
Yeah.
I'm successful. I love being a mom. I've got my pod with my brother and my mom, all that. Like, I love it. If anything, I almost like it even more. Like, I just think it's, I don't know. I think it's a great thing. And I'm not the biggest Lala fan.
Yeah, me.
But I think that she, you know, she looks amazing pregnant. She's glowing.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why people are giving her grief about that.
Truly. I also like the year is 2024.
Thank you.
We should not be commenting on how people choose to bring children into this world.
Exactly. But everyone wants to get in every woman's business when it comes to reproduction, apparently.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So Tom Schwartz, by the way, everyone, has a 24-year-old girlfriend.
Oh my God.
We premiered on TikTok.
Oh, God.
So did you see
it? Was Joe? How old do we know how old Joe was?
I don't, but I can look it up right now. Did you see the video though?
I did. I saw the video and I just was like, you know, what's wrong with the youth? I gotta have a youth. Are you listening? Have a seat. Sit down. Don't do it with these dudes. Okay. I mean,
listen. Joe's 35.
Oh, okay. Joe's 35.
Yeah. She's not a baby.
She's not a child. So here's the thing. I get it. I get the excitement. I was also once in my early 20s. I was once in my teens and the excitement mm-hmm. of an older man who's like fun and like
especially
so fun.
Kind of famous.
Yeah. Like it sounds great. Okay. Take it from Lala. Okay. Take it from Lala.
Right.
There's nothing good coming out of this 24-year-old girl dating this like washed up 40-year-old loser with a bar that's like probably going to shut down. Like, mm-hmm. take it from her. This is not a good idea. And I get it. The Schwartz is much better looking than Rand, obviously. But like, I'd say they're equal pieces of shit. Well, Rand is problematic in other ways, but they're pieces of shit. Like,
yeah,
I know the excitement, okay, of the early 20s and doing this stuff, but he's not Leonardo DiCaprio, baby. Like,
no, but if I'm looking at this from Schwartz's perspective instead of the girl, 24 is probably good for him because
mentally, yes.
Because he doesn't want anything serious and he wants to. Oh no, I just got the time warning on Zoom. Sorry. And he doesn't want to like settle down or get, and like, you know, an early 20s person would be maybe in that same headspace. But yes, I, you know, listen, the red flags are out there and she's got to learn the hard way, I guess, by dating him.
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly. It's an unfortunate rite of passage that all of us ladies have had to go through.
Very, very unfortunate rite of passage. And then, you know, when you get to be like I'm 40. So I just celebrated my 40th in January.
Happy.
And I was, oh, thank you. And I was saying that, you know, when you get to be older, you look back and you're like, what was I thinking? But you know, you do know though that no one could have talked you out of it.
No, absolutely.
I have to be honest, no one could have talked me out of a lot of my choices at the time. So
yes. Me and my girlfriend from high school, like my best friends, we've like gotten together on multiple occasions and like, you know, we're like drinking. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. We're like reminiscing about like the shit that we did in like high school and like
totally.
And like so many times we're like, I can't believe like I did this and happened with me. But like one of my friends, like she like hardcore flirted with the gym teacher, like for the whole of our senior year. She's like, dude, he came to my house. I'm like, so problematic.
Oh my God.
So messed up. Like,
that is so problematic.
So problematic. Like I remember like there was somebody I work with that was like 10 years older than me. And like, it's crazy. Cause I was literally 17. Like this is mm-hmm. It was such a bad idea, but it was,
you know, you feel in your heart and in your head, you feel like you're an adult. Like you believe you're really grown up at the time.
Totally.
And then once you actually are, you're like, damn, I was not.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk reality reckoning. Everyone's favorite story. Sorry, but it's unfortunately on the news list. So Bethany cancels her Rewives podcast. I don't know if you heard about that.
Best thing she's ever done.
Totally. This is the one time I agree with her. Like, good job. She says, this is her quote, it's the worst version of a toxic dumpster fire. I was like, okay, I'm glad you're admitting that your podcast is the worst thing, but
yes.
On the other hand, you know, with all this stuff with Leah and everything, there's been a ton of Bravo celebrities who've spoken out in defense of Andy. So, you know, everyone from like Luann, Kyle Richards, Kiki, like basically the whole cast of Miami.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. I know at Bywig Hello Drama, that Instagram account, who's great at keeping up with the news, and they had compiled the list and it was so long. There was at least 20 names on it.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of them are people who I think like in the Bravo community, quote unquote, are sort of like respected.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't all just like Dorinda's.
Yeah. We're like, Dorinda, you're on cocaine right now.
Right. Like, love Dorinda, but let's be honest. So what do you think?
I think it's so funny because it's like, here's the thing. I'm not saying that it's acceptable. I think that, like, I get that a lot of Leah's concerns were that there's actual problematic stuff that's happening in production. Within her lawsuit, she talks about, you know, people in production sending, like, unsolicited dick pics, people being inappropriate to people. That shit is fucked up. But she's talking about Andy because she's saying, like, it all goes to the top, right? That this person all the way at the top is so problematic. I'm not a wrestling person. I don't watch any of that stuff. But my understanding is that wrestling, like WWF and all that, is like reality TV for boys. And
yes, that's my understanding too.
And like Vince McMahon is like a character now on these shows, right? Mm-hmm. He's been a character for a long time, but he also is like the CEO of all this stuff. So he's a super fucked up guy. He's super problematic. He's like, there's like trafficking stuff against him. Like, he's going to go to jail for a long, long time, hopefully, and die there. Right. I'm not comparing him to Andy and saying like Andy's that problematic, but I think that Andy has kind of become a Vince McMahon type character within yes. Bravo. And I don't think that he needs to be like, I don't think Andy should be hosting reunions. I don't think that he needs to be center of attention. I think that he should like take a step back and like remove himself from it. Just not because I think that truly, I don't think anything that he's been accused of is that problematic, to be honest. It is.
Well, that's the thing is none of it is like there's no smoking gun yet.
Yeah, I mean, okay, let me rephrase that. It is problematic, but none of it is surprising. And also, it sounds really fucked up again, but like working in New York City in like any corporate environment, especially media, especially entertainment, especially sales, babe, the Coke den is Coke denning. Like, I'm not surprised that this like idea that like, oh, he pulls aside his favorite people and does coke with them. It's like, yeah, of course he does. Like,
well, and it's not just about his favorite people. Sorry to interrupt you. He pulls aside the ones that he probably knows also do coke already.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why it's so funny that all the housewives are like, he's never offered me coke, but it's like,
because he probably knows you're not into it. Like, they know each, like, I come from like the restaurant industry and hospitality,
yeah,
another place where coke is rampant. Like, listen, if you've ever eaten at a restaurant, it was probably cooked by a chef on coke. Cause that, like, I'm sorry, I worked in that industry. The whole line was on coke, like on every busy night, almost at least like 50%. And yeah, at least half the waiters were too. So it's like, listen, I understand, but like, also I don't see like someone who's struggling with addiction and drugs. Like, I don't see that as like an evil bad person.
No.
Barely. However, I do understand the perspective of when you're in like an authority position.
Yes.
And if you're like trying to talk people into it and make them do it, but I don't think that's the situation.
Yeah. And I think like, obviously the part of Leah's lawsuit, which is talking about sort of the unsafe environment. Like, one of Leah's thoughts was that if you're a producer on the show and there's a person that's struggling with alcoholism, it is your responsibility to keep them safe by taking the substance abuse. Like, I think what she's trying to say is like, when like a bar, she said something like the way a bartender cuts you off, producers should also cut you off, mm-hmm, because they should be mindful of it. And I think we also need to sort of understand like people's job titles and like the requirements of your job and what you've signed up for. Leah's been on record on interviews saying that she doesn't hold producers responsible for her addiction and what she did, right? Mm-hmm. Also on Ultimate Girls Trip, she's sitting at the table and she gets bored and she tells all the girls like, can you guys get drunk or something? Like,
yep. So I have that in my notes actually for today.
It's like,
yep.
It's like, Leah, you signed the deal with the devil. Like, mm-hmm, I said this on my podcast, you signed up for the running of the bulls and then you got upset that you got hurt. And right, it's like, you knew what you were signing up for and you were signing up to be a Real Housewives of New York City. Famously hot mess, like,
right. And it's not like there was a new show, like we had 11 seasons of, or 10
exactly,
of them clearly on coke sometimes and also drunk AF often.
Yeah. And I think ultimately Leah and Bethany both have a case of, we don't get to do this thing anymore, so now we don't want anybody else to do it either. And that's, oh, totally, not fun. Okay.
It's a little bit like, it's got a childish aspect to it. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to burn the whole place down.
Yeah. And it's like, grow up. Okay.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, my God, that one Watch What Happens Live that Bethany went on changed everything.
With Jeff Lewis, right?
Oh my, yes, God, it has so snowballed into, oh my God, I remember watching it. I was
like, I can see how happening? Her face being so embarrassed and, yep, so caught off guard. Oh, so yeah, good.
You can see her face changing as it goes. Like, it's, she's so relaxed at the beginning and she's like the boss still, and then it just slowly transforms into like just this tight like pursing of the lips, and you could tell she's just like planning her revenge every second that it goes on. Now, there's other things about Leah though that have come out, besides the clip that you mentioned. I had that on the list, but there's also, like you said, she did that Nightline interview, said she's, yeah, not going to be blaming production for her behavior, but then the whole complaint that she had, legal complaint, is that they were encouraging and manipulating.
Yeah.
There's also the clip floating around, like you said, but also it was pointed out that There's another clip of her saying how bad she wants to come back for season 13. And another one where one of her books that she published was dedicated to Andy Cohen.
Yeah.
It even like, has a chapter entitled Hurricane Leah.
Well, yeah.
How about we pause there? Can I restart? And then
yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we interrupt our discussion of the reality reckoning for this breaking news that Noor just watched the Real Housewives of New Jersey trailer, and so did I, because we were in between the free Zoom calls, and we had to wait 5 minutes. So we'll go back to that, but tell me your thoughts.
On New Jersey?
If you don't mind.
Let
me get those gut reactions.
Okay. My gut says, hey, this season looks fine. Like, I'm surprised. I didn't see any filming, at least in the trailer, where it looked like Melissa and Teresa were together, but it seems like they made a couple of group scenes work, and it looks like everybody seems really happy on that front. I'm interested to see how the Jackie Marge thing works out. I'm interested to see that relationship fall apart. I'm interested to see, apparently, Jen Fessler and the new girl from last year,
Rachel,
their friendship falls apart. And then I'm interested to see Jen Aiden and Danielle, because apparently the way the teams have changed since last season is now Danielle is now team Melissa, and she's super close with Rachel. And Jen Fessler is now sort of more team Teresa, and Jackie is fully team Teresa. Now, the other thing that the trailer really, I was like, well, who could have seen this coming? Okay, who could have known?
Is it Louis?
Teresa and Louis are fighting. It's like, there goes your love. Also, love bubble. I say this every time she says it. A bubble is something that pops really, really easily.
Right.
Stop calling it a love bubble.
No, it's not a good analogy. No. Teresa's not good at analogies. No. Let's be honest there. One thing Teresa Giudice is going to do is it is give us a kick-ass personal storyline.
Always.
I'm sorry. Like, whether you hate her or love her, you have to admit, whoever's listening right now, that woman has given us, like, Kyle Richards is trying to be like, make this speech this week. I saw the clip of it about like how much she shared. Get the fuck out of here, Kyle.
No.
Like, Teresa has shared like just an unreal, and again, she's been forced to a lot of the time, but she's also just like not that good. Like, I don't think she's savvy enough to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's what makes her a good reality star, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I want to see what's going on with her and Louis. Like, I'm interested in watching that. And I want to see, like, is he spending her money? What is he doing? You know? Like, she's brought us another, because she really just never learns.
Yeah, I think the best reality TV stars are the ones that are just dumb, so dumb that they don't know how to hide stuff well. And it's very easy to watch them pretend that they are good at hiding it. Like, Alexia, I always say, is Cuban Teresa. Like, she is another one that's like, her life will fall apart and she will act like everything is fine. And we will get to watch her just like crumble in a way that still makes you be like, man, I feel bad for Frankie, or like, man, I feel bad for those girls. Like,
right.
I think that's something that Kyle, unfortunately, didn't build for us. Kyle thinks she's smarter than the show, and you can't be smarter than the show. You need to be, you got to let go to the show. Like, you got to let the show like run it, do its thing. And you can't be smarter and act like you can control storylines and craft certain things. Like, Kyle has not shared anything. And the clip of tonight at the reunion, she's going to be like, all you did was buy a horse, sprinkled her friend's ashes, who you later on said you had never heard of. So like,
I'll give her that. Was this Sutton's most compelling season in terms of personal stuff? No, but I don't need that if the person is bringing a lot to the group dynamics.
Exactly.
Sutton pushes all the storylines forward. She's the only one that we had on our side during the Erica Jayne time.
Yeah.
The rest of them, it was Crickets. Sorry, Garcelle too.
Yeah.
And Crystal a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think Crystal was still like pretty new and was just kind of like figuring it out. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's kind of, you got to have at least one or the other. Uh-oh, she's frozen, everyone. We're going to see if she comes back. Hang on. Maybe not. Oh, we're back. Are we good? We're back. Everyone, we got sucked into the vortex of the what's it called? The upside down. We're back.
I was like, what is she saying? No, you're absolutely right. Like, Sutton brings so much compelling stuff to the group dynamic. Like, Kyle doesn't. Kyle just kind of like whispers and like says weird things and bites her fingernails and licks her lips. Like,
yeah, I mean, all that being said, like, I still want Kyle on the show.
Yeah, totally.
I like love to hate Kyle. So like, I'm not one who's like, Kyle sucks, get her off. Like, I'm like, Kyle sucks, get her on. Cause like, I like to criticize how she sucks. Oh no, are we frozen again? Okay. So the other thing I wanted to say on that topic is that, oh God, now I can't remember. What were we talking about? Oh yes, the Real Housewives of New Jersey preview. Is that, you know, Louie and this whole thing, I have said from the beginning, because people are going, we're going so hard at Teresa for marrying Louie. And, you know, now everyone's going to be able to say like, told you so, told you so. But I just want to say, I always maintain from the start, you cannot tell that woman what to do.
Yep.
She's going to do it. She's a very stubborn person. And she's the type of person who has to learn by experience
and
the hard way. And you can't. So I was always like, listen, just let the woman get married. Shut up about it. Like, not that I'm saying the audience can't talk about it, but I meant like the cast. Like, you're really, it's a moot point. It just, she's going to walk down the aisle. She's not going to get a prenup. She's going to do all that. And she's going to, unfortunately, have to learn the hard way. And it does really suck.
Yeah. And, you know, even her hard way, she's eventually she will own it and just be like, yeah, that's just what I went through.
Yeah, she will. She is like that.
There is also this sort of like, and again, this is like me over psychoanalyzing my Jersey girls, but like Teresa is also the child of immigrants. And I think that there is this idea a lot of like, and I am speaking from the perspective of also being a Jersey girl and also an immigrant myself, is that you're taught early on that you need to suffer. There's a lot of like suffer, like you're not doing well if you're not suffering a little bit.
Yep.
And so I almost think like the trials and tribulations of Teresa's life, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised if like her Catholic upbringing was like, oh, you know, like these are just tests from God, like that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I think that there's like that. I wouldn't be surprised if like she was growing up in a Catholic household and they're like, these are just tests from God. Totally. Like, so I think that Teresa has that, you know, mentality of like,
she is kind of like, she's old school with her thinking.
Oh, old school with her thinking. Like she's, you know, I feel like, and you know, who else is old school with their thinking? Jennifer. Jennifer Aiden is like the perfect person for her to be friends with, who'd be like, you know what, Teresa, people gave you the evil eye. And that's why this is happening, Louie.
Honestly, like I've always thought it was so weird when people are like, they're only friends because of the show. I'm like, no, they make sense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And they're those very like traditional, like you do things a certain way. They think about things a certain way. And I think sometimes I'm a little more forgiving about Teresa's bad choices because like I grew up in a very Italian Catholic neighborhood. When I went to school, every single person I went to school with was Italian Catholic, and there were a lot of those old school points of view. So I do like, I at least understand where it comes from and where the thought processes come from.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I do think some people who just haven't maybe been around that as much. And I thought it was interesting what you said about like coming from like people who have parents who are immigrants or first generation or whatever. Yeah. You kind of get like where that stuff comes from.
Yeah. And that's why she hates Melissa, because Melissa doesn't adhere to that way of life. And mm-hmm. So she's like, why would you be like, why don't you treat my husband like he is a king? Like, why don't you worship my husband?
My brother. Yeah.
My brother, but those two. But like, you know, she's like, you, in her mind, you treat your husband's family like they're gods. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I totally agree with you. There's no way, there was no pulling that woman back from the fire. She's like, no, I'm going to get burned. And then I'm going to talk about it.
Okay, so let's go back to the reality reckoning quickly, just so that I feel bad to leave people without anything, because we talked about how she dedicated her book to Andy, how she had a chapter about being Hurricane Leah. Just give me your thoughts on that, and then we'll go to the next story.
I mean, I think that, again, you know, I think that Leah is a scorned white lady, and she's just trying to be relevant. And it's like, it's not fun. Like, I just think back to her exchanges with like Michael Che, those like text messages that came out.
My God. I just want to say I Googled them a few days ago because I was like, what was that Michael Che thing where she sounded like a psycho?
Yeah. And like, she's just weird. She's like a weird person who does like, she does like weird immature stuff. And then she wants to be treated like an adult. And I don't think that there's a lot of, you can't take Leah seriously. Now, here's the thing. I hope that she's sober. I hope that she's well. I hope she finds whatever closure she needs. But I think going after Bravo is not going to get you the thing you want.
Mm-hmm. And I think her and Rachel, I'm not saying Rachel doesn't have a case against Tom Sandoval, everyone. So don't DM me. But I'm just saying Rachel, just in general, the way that she has been when she was on Bethany's podcast and then Brandy and Leah, they all have this complex. They all are so desperate to be the victim instead of the villain in their story. And they seem like they just want sympathy so bad. And it's this victim mentality that is very, I just find it very frustrating and annoying. It's like it's almost like they want to not have some of the privileges that they have, you know, and they want to be somebody who needs help and who needs us all to fawn over them.
Yeah. I think all three of them are a case of like, they fucked up. They did something wrong. They did something that they knew was wrong. Brandy, you know, the stuff coming out about what Brandy did to Caroline Manzo, like, I'm not surprised by it at all, because we watched her in the Berkshires and she was like up on Vicky and she kept trying to get Vicky to kiss her. Like, Brandy's an extremely problematic person.
Yep.
She does not understand personal boundaries and she's kind of gross. And like, so she does all these really over the top, disgusting things. And then people have a reaction to it. And she's like, oh my God, why is everybody so mad at me? And it's like,
so true.
Like, okay, Rachel did the same thing. She did a bad thing. Everybody got mad at her. And she's like, I was a victim to like the
exactly.
World. You know, Leah showed up on a show, got drunk. The show got canceled. She never was asked back. And now she's hurt and she's butthurt. And she's blaming her issues with sobriety on a show that she wasn't invited back to. So like,
And I was just going to say, all three of them cannot, and I've said this on this podcast a million times, they can't take the loss.
Yeah.
Things didn't work out how you wanted them to. Rachel thought she was the new head bitch in charge on Vanderpump Rules. We all saw her attitude. She thought she was like the audience favorite after she broke up with James. She didn't know it was going to go the way it went. No one could have expected it, really. Yeah. Maybe her and Tom behind closed doors, but still. But they didn't think they were going to get caught. That's the truth. So she didn't expect it to go that way. She really bought into like, he's going to break up with her between seasons. It'll be a fairy tale. Like, and you know, none of them can just take the L. Like sometimes in life, you start just be like, okay, it didn't go how I wanted.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, you watch everything, so you watch Summer House.
I do.
Okay. Oh, this new season is bringing it. And people love to hate Lindsay, you know, but I gotta say, God, she brings good reality TV. Okay, so Lindsay apologizes for her problematic questioning of Carl. I'm going to read the apology and then you may comment, because I can tell you have comments. Okay. After watching back this week's episode, I wish I had used better wording. I was emotional and hurt by what had transpired earlier in the night. And what I said was meant to be a private conversation at home with one of my best girlfriends. I have never questioned his sobriety before this moment. And from day one, I was his biggest supporter. I have always been transparent on the show about my feelings and have leaned on my friends for support. And that was my only intention here. Okay. What do we think?
Oh my God. Number one, Lindsay, what are you talking about? In private, you're on a reality TV show. Yeah. There's cameras everywhere. Like the way that you looked at West and were like, yeah, I've been in this house a long time. I know which rooms are warm. You should know which rooms have cameras in it. Like, don't act like you weren't mic'd up. Don't act like you didn't know what was going on. you were aware of what was happening. It's not like you guys were on an off day. You were there in the summer house filming for the weekend, which is what you do. I understand if this something like this happened during the weekday when they're not really filming and back in New York City, but like they were in the Hamptons. The other thing is that Lindsay, I love me some Hub House. Okay. I think that she is amazing reality TV.
Well, I come from the exact same viewpoint. Like I just want whoever's a mess and is bringing the best conflict.
Exactly. And much like a Teresa, you cannot tell that woman to walk out of the fire. She is going to walk right into it. Right. So I think that that weekend, really what happened is that she saw Kyle getting along with people that she used to get along with when she was
Carl, right?
Oh, sorry, Carl.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
She saw Carl buddying up with the people that she used to get along with. And when I'm sure that when he was getting along with them, there was coke being done mm-hmm. and there was stuff being done. And just seeing Carl behave friendly with people that she doesn't really want him to be around, she immediately assumed the absolute worst. The other thing is, mm-hmm. my girl Lindsay is a self-saboteur, okay? She could write a book on it. She
is going to set it
all on fire. So before Carl could become buddies with Kyle again and change his mind about how he feels about her, she's going to do something absolutely reckless to make him change his mind anyway. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And here we are. Single Lindsay. And so
I totally agree.
It's like, it's so crazy because it was so fucked up what she did. But you guys, that is good reality TV. She is not a good person, but that is good television. And Summer House is so good right now.
Oh my God. I said this in January. I'm looking forward to this season more than I was looking forward to Vanderpump Rules. Cause I knew Vanderpump Rules was going to be a little repetitive, etc. And I knew it was going to be, it's just by the trailer, it seemed a little like inauthentic. So, okay. So I echo literally everything you said and agree with all of it. And I also want to add, in that basketball court scene, you can see, if you look closely at Carl's face, and a lot of people on Twitter pointed this out, including myself, you can see that man planning his exit. Okay. He is sitting there looking at his eyes are darting around. He's like, how the fuck am I going to get out of this one? And listen, at the end of the day, he's a grown man. He mm-hmm. knows he fucked up. Okay. He shouldn't have proposed. And now you have to deal with it. Like put your big boy pants on and deal with it like a grown up.
Yeah.
I can give Lindsay a tiny, tiny, and please don't come after me, people, a tiny bit of sympathy only with the cocaine thing. Mm-hmm. As somebody who, like, you know, I don't like to go into big detail about it, but just as somebody who has very close relationship with the topic of addiction and having a family member, a loved one as an addict. And when you have someone that you love who's an addict and who has lied to you a million times, who's such a good liar, who's a manipulator, who gaslights, who has, you know, people who are in relationships with addicts, they're stolen from, they're abused. They put up with so much because they know that that good person is in there somewhere and is lost to the addiction. It's, in my opinion, one of the hardest things to deal with that people can go through. And so a part of me was like, did something happen mm-hmm. off camera or mm-hmm. between filming that was a relapse? Because it's very common with addicts to relapse, and sometimes it can be very short. So I did kind of question that, because she said in the apology, she did say, I was emotional and hurt by what had transpired earlier that night, and it was meant to be a private conversation. So like, I can defend her in the sense of like, and I'm not a Lindsay apologist or anything, but I'm just saying I can defend her in the sense of like, I understand how when you do have a family member or a partner who's an addict, that you do sometimes spiral. And if they do start showing little actions or behaviors that remind you of when they used, you can have those moments. What I cannot defend her about is doing this on camera.
Oh, God.
Saying it over and over again, calling him Cocaine Carl. And she was drunk. Like, if she was sober, then I might have been like, okay, she has a reason. But it was clear that it was just like, kind of, you know, when you get drunk and you get overly emotional and you overanalyze stuff, like, it was clear it was that. So it's like, Lindsay, maybe it's time to reevaluate the drinking and like, again, I'm not saying she has to be sober for him, but it is hard to be in a relationship with an addict and to be drinking. That's just a thing.
Yeah. And I think that Lindsay, I think that because Carl is sober, it reminds Lindsay of the ways that she probably could benefit from being a little bit sober.
Totally.
I think that he's a reminder to her of her own issues with substance, possibly. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, she was drunk that whole day. She got to the house and she immediately started drinking, and she was drinking and drinking and drinking. And so for her to like just go off on that, I mean, even the fight itself was about like, oh, you know, now we're sitting in a car and it's all boys, and like, now they're going to talk about me. And I will give her that, like, it's possible that Carl didn't respond to her the way that she was looking for it. Like, it's possible that like she was like, oh, now those girls are going to talk about me, which is probably something that Carl has heard a million fucking times. And he was probably just like, hey, it's, you got to relax. Like, it's not a big deal. I mean, we have all been there when our man or our significant other has told us to relax.
Totally.
Pretty upset.
Yeah. And for her to jump, for her to jump though, from there to the cocaine thing, is
certainly
wrong. Like, it's so wrong. I
very can't wrong.
Defend her. Now, all that being said, I can also see Carl being like, I got to get out of this engagement somehow. Yeah. So let me, every time Lindsay, you know, shares her emotions with me, let me not sympathize, and, you know, let me say things that I know are going to lead to a blow up so that I don't look like as much of a bad guy when I do end this engagement on camera, because I'm going to, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, I like, they're both to blame in different ways. They both did kind of a fucked up thing on camera. I do think Lindsay's is worse, if I'm going to be honest, just from that perspective. But I just wanted to put that stuff about, like, for the family members of addicts.
I think that's a really good point.
I want to put it out there because there are a lot. I did get DMs and I saw DMs from people who were like, I can't even watch Summer House this season because, you know, they would say things like, my husband, my wife, whoever is an addict. And I have had nights where I've given in to the anxiety and paranoia after being lied to and cheated and whatever for 10 years where I've accused them.
Yeah. Right?
But again, the difference I would say to those people is like, give yourself some grace and you're not on camera.
Yeah. And I also think that like Lindsay Hubbard needs to be the kind of person who is secure enough to support being in a relationship with a person who struggles with abuse.
Yes.
Right. And I think, unfortunately, Lindsay has not done the work on herself to be able to have a relationship with somebody like Carl.
Totally.
Might need more help. And I was thinking also about, remember that fight that we heard about last season where Lindsay ended up, or Carl ended up taking like an Uber from like from the Hamptons back to New
York City. Yes.
And that was a big fight that Danielle kept saying, like, you guys had a really big fight and you acted like everything was totally fine. And I'm thinking, like, then this fight happens, I wouldn't be surprised if like this happens frequently, like where Lindsay gets drunk and things are said and blah, blah, blah. And then 2 days later, we all have to act like everything is totally fine. I mean, I will say, hi, Kyle and Amanda, you guys do the exact same thing you did.
Oh, they totally do.
The entire time. And we watched your wedding and we're still watching you do it, right? So it's like, I think it's like unfair for people to be like, why are Carl and Lindsay even together? Like, it's so fake. But it's like, yeah, their relationship is toxic. It's not fake. It's just as toxic as Amanda and Kyle. The funny thing,
just in a different way.
Yeah, the funny thing about Amanda and Kyle is, though, that they are now going to be happier than ever because they are thriving when other couples are crumbling.
Oh, they totally are. I saw their faces light up last week. Like, they were like, yes, Lindsay, you're fighting. This is so wonderful. Like, babe, I bet you Amanda's like turned on by it, honestly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I tweeted last week. I was like, last week's episode. And I was like, so we're getting like a broken off engagement and a divorce, right? Like, is that we're getting both? Like, so speaking of people who are hot messes on Summer House, Danielle was on Watch What Happens Live and confirmed that Joe Bradley hooked up with Countess Luann. And so I don't know, do you watch Southern Hospitality?
I have watched the first season of Southern Hospitality.
I don't. So I just want to put that out there.
So Southern Hospitality, I don't watch the show regularly. I did watch season one. It's so dumb. It's so good. I think that if I was to be cheated on, I hope that it's with Countess Luann.
I know, same. Because like Luann is just gonna Luann, you know, like Luann is just like, I can't even, like, listen, Luann is like a dog in heat. Like, she's just gonna kind of, she's gonna do that. It's up to the guy who's in a relationship to say no. And he didn't. So he's trash. And Danielle figured it out because he had sent his location earlier in the night. And then she saw that it switched to him going to the Upper East Side. And he spent the night there. Overnight.
And then he ended up spending more time. He came back to Danielle afterwards and like he hooked up with her. It was a whole thing.
Guys. And then I guess someone named TJ revealed it at the reunion.
TJ apparently. is this bitchy guy on Southern Hospitality. And he hates all the men and all the women also. He hates everyone and also himself.
Hey, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, but he outed Joe Bradley. And here's the thing. If I was Joe Bradley, I think the other thing is Joe Bradley, we have only gotten like a season and a half with him or two seasons with him. First season, he is coming off like one of the sweetest people in the world. So I think he's got another case of like the... I try to trick the world into thinking that I'm a good
Like a Tom Schwartz.
Yeah, like a Schwartz, but now he's not oh shucksy. He's like
he's a different.
It's a different kind, but like still also like a good guy, right? Like just
interesting
because he's like in love with this girl and she's got the shitty boyfriend and all this stuff. So you think that he's like a whatever, but you know, he's a man who works in hospitality.
Right. Exactly. Like I mean, I want to catch. I haven't watched it. I do want to watch it.
You'll love it.
Okay, because I wasn't really interested after the first season. People were like, yeah, it's pretty good. But now with this new season, the way I'm seeing people talk about it, it has definitely piqued my interest. So I think I'm going to try it. But all that being said, I have kept you for so long. I'm sorry.
No, it's awesome.
Between our technical difficulties. But I just wanted to say thank you so much. And I will cut out the parts where we get interrupted. Don't worry.
No, it's totally fine.
But I just want to say that this was so fun. And you were just so fun to talk to. Like,
come on my podcast anytime.
Okay. I was secretly, I have to be honest, secretly inside, I was like, I really hope she invites me on her podcast.
Of course. Yes. We'll DM each other. We'll figure it out. But yeah, you absolutely have
time and place and yeah, I'll be there
in the podcast. Yes.
And you've got to come back again because it's so much fun doing the news. And okay, everyone. So thank you again, Noor, for coming. And you need to, all of you, if you don't listen to her podcast, you just heard how fun she is. So you need to listen to the At The Reality Is podcast. Follow her on Instagram. Are you active on other socials? I know you're on Twitter.
Yes, Twitter, Instagram. And now I just started putting on videos on YouTube. So go check that out.
Okay, and I'm going to put all the information in the show notes for today as well. And thank you again. And listeners, you are now in the know for everything Bravo.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox, and for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.